nice to see everybody in a rainy morning. Okay, and yeah, there's hot coffee there. And so today we are going to look into the Word of God, and it is on the values that we have seen in our website. Okay, and these values are not derived from somewhere, but it is the values that we believe God has put in so that we stand out. We are a community which is set apart. That's what even God said to the Israelites, that you will do this, 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 this. And He gave them some commandments. He gave them some rules. He gave them some guidelines so that He said, you are a people set apart for me. Yes, amen. So we believe we are set apart for God. Yes. So many of us may follow, like, you know, you may see others may not follow a certain pattern, a certain thing. But we believe that we need to be set apart from what the standards of the world is. And what? How do we come to know? We come to know it through the Word of God. We come to know it through discussions and through the congregation and the community. So last week, we saw something on the value of, anybody remembers? Open home. Yes. And we know that no home is big or small, but we saw the home of the Shunammite woman who opened a home. And what happened then? She encountered God's blessing in her home. Yes. And she also encountered a miracle from God, where she lost her son, but because of what she saw, what she experienced, she saw that God can do miracles in her life, and she experienced the living God. Today we are going to do the second value. Anybody knows what is the second value? Anybody has opened it? Yes, it's already there. Discipleship. Okay, so we go back. So if you are a person who wants to know, oh, what's the next value, what's the next value, you need to go back to renewedhopecommunity.in. And you'll get to know the value. So if you want to know what we're preaching next week, you can go to www.renewedhopecommunity.in and you'll get to know it. Okay, and you have to go in the value section. Okay, so when we talk about discipleship, okay, so when we say discipleship, we suddenly remember a very strict person telling us to do this and not to do that, and you know what you're doing, and you suddenly feel, oh, all my life, whatever I have learned is all wrong. You know, this person, what he's saying is correct. So you feel miserable, okay, and you tremble by this word, discipleship. So today I've come to comfort you, and I've come to say that it is in God's heart that we all are like diamonds, and we all need a little bit of chiseling, and so that we become beautiful people, we become instrumental in God's hand, right? Until and unless we don't get chiseled, until and unless we don't get polished, we will be raw. We will not be useful in God's hand. So that's why God has kept certain people in our life, so that they may mentor us and disciple us. Now, just to begin with, can we think of some guides or some people in our life who have helped us? For example, in our education, somebody told us, oh, why don't you, very good field, you'll earn a lot of money. Somebody said, oh, why don't you do MBBS? Somebody said, it could be our parents also, it could be. So can we think of one person, maybe a teacher, said, oh, why don't you, you're very good at this art and craft, why don't you do fine arts? Or why don't you do this or that? Can we think of somebody in our life? And can we share it with our neighbor so that you don't sleep off? Can we share it with our neighbor? Who was that person? Do you remember anybody in your life? Who was it? Come on, remember. Not necessarily, okay, this is not going to be like so spiritual. A person, a teacher, trainer, anybody, parent, cousin, relative, coach. Okay, that's nice. So you all remember, right? Okay, so there was this one person who became so, you know, even when we think about that person today, we are like, wow, thank God for that person who helped me. I was in a very miserable condition. So that's what I said. Who is that one person whom you could always lean on? Be honest to, and someone who has always told you the truth about you. Okay, so there are so many people whom we encounter in our life who will tell, wow, you are a good person. And even when we are sad, they will come and tell that only. They will say, oh, you are so good. You know, why are you so sad? But there are very few people in our life who will actually address, you know, those issues which can be improved upon in our life. Okay. So discipleship is not so negative as we always think, but it's always very healthy to know where we are leading to and who we are becoming. Because if we do not, I'll come to that, if we do not have people in our life who will speak into our life, then we will be aimless. We will have no vision, no mission, no goal in our life. And we will do whatever we feel is right, whatever we feel is good, or whatever voices that we hear. Oh, this is right, this is correct. Okay. So just like I said, discipleship, it means, okay, so that one more surprising aspect was when I was searching for the meaning of discipleship. Okay, I said discipleship meaning. And surprisingly, it only spoke about Christ. It said that the followers of Christ were called, you know, they were discipled, or they were disciples. And it always said, and so one of the definitions was this, the condition or situation of being a disciple, a follower, or a student of some philosophy, especially a follower of Christ. The priest was known for his lifelong discipleship at St. Thomas Aquinas. So the group of original followers of Christ in his lifetime, they were told that the key to Jesus' discipleship was his personal trust in his disciples. So if you type discipleship, it will always say, talk about Jesus and his disciples. So basically, disciple means being guided, okay, being guided or being mentored to a certain goal or a certain vision, which also I think Jesus was doing that, right? Yeah, so discipleship. Now, I was just trying to make things easy for all of us. So discipleship, in a way, physical, okay? Suppose if you say that, oh, I want to be discipled or I want to be mentored in my physical area. For example, if we are obese, okay, and I want somebody to help me, a guide, whom will we go to? A dietitian, a trainer, okay, we will go to a physiotherapist or somebody like that, and we will say, please help us with our diet plan or exercise. So who is mentoring us here? Who's guiding us? That professional, a person who has prior knowledge, a person who has walked that path. For example, we may not always go to a professional. We may also see somebody actually losing weight, or somebody also into it. So we may go to that person also, because they have the wisdom or they have the knowledge of how they have been doing that. So that is physical. So we see that, oh, discipleship can also happen this way. So we can term it as discipleship or mentoring in our health. Now, if it is mental, okay, suppose if we are too anxious, too depressed, or we are too bothered about, or too angry, or too sad about something, then whom do we go to? Not necessarily to a psychiatrist all the time, but we go to somebody whom we say, oh, okay, this person can help me out, a friend, okay, who can just relax me. Generally, when college students are stressed out or something, they chill out, okay? They go out to a cafe or something and they say, just want to get rid of this. So we go to somebody who will help us to relieve that thing that we are going through, or help us or guide us through difficult times. In a similar manner, we have the third aspect, that is spiritual discipleship. And today we are going to talk about the spiritual discipleship. So it is not necessary that discipleship can only happen, oh no, no, this character is wrong, that is wrong, this is it. But discipleship has happened to us all through our lives, but terminologies have been different all throughout. So it, sometimes it's called teaching, sometimes it is called guidance, sometimes it is called coaching, sometimes, you know, so there are different. But we always need somebody or someone to help us along. So even in the Bible, it says that two are better than one. So that when one falls, what happens? The other one can pick him up. Correct? No, it's a fact. When if we are walking on a road, one falls in the pit, the other person is there to lift them up. So discipleship is something like that. It always helps us to be on the right path. And it always keeps our heart in check. So finally, so we need people to tell us how to go ahead, or we also have people who have walked that path. So many times we take guidance from people who have walked that path. For example, if somebody has bought a property, we will definitely go to that person only, no? To buy our property. Or if somebody has bought a car, we will tell, oh, how did you go about it? Can you tell me? Because it, we need guidance. We need somebody to disciple us, somebody to teach us, guide us. Okay? So it's like that. So my one question is, does age matter then? If I'm saying only, so only students should be discipled, or anybody, even a person who is 70 years old needs a disciple? Yes, yes. Okay. So that means we all need to be discipled. We all need guidance. We all, whether age doesn't matter. Okay, because we all need, because sometimes there are modern technology. I've seen grandparents coming to their younger generation and saying, please, can you help me with this mobile phone? Right? So many times we may not be aware of it. And we need people to help us out. Now, I'm talking so much about spiritual. Okay. So, why? Why do we need discipleship? It keeps my heart from being proud. Okay. I know it all. I don't need anybody in my life. I know it. I can directly talk to God and get the vision or enlightenment. Okay. So, in that case, then we will become too proud. That's what even the devil did, Lucifer. It says in Isaiah 14:13-14, you said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will. So if you see here, there is a lot of I. Correct? I will raise. I will sit. I will ascend. So it's, whenever we say, I don't need discipleship, again, it's I, it's me, it's all about me. So that is what, where we lack, you know, discipline, or that is when we become too proud about ourselves or arrogant. We are like, as if I know everything. You may know everything, but we also need some people to tell us where we are not knowing anything. Okay, so that ultimately, the aim is to become Christ-like. The aim is to, because that is why he died on the cross for us. The aim of God is that, you know, the aim in the Garden of Eden was that we have a relationship with God. And that relationship was broken because of our sinfulness, our disobedience. And if we continue in that disobedience and arrogance, we will never reach or never have that relationship with God. So that is why every moment of our life needs to be channelized, needs to be chiseled, needs to be guided or taught. Okay, so we are all in the same position. So sometimes we say, no, that person is a self-made man. Self-made means, again, pride. It's all about me. It's me, myself, and I have done this. So there is nobody on earth. There will be one person at least who has helped us and who has guided us, and it is good to always acknowledge those people in our lives. Then, do we remember the story of the Tower of Babel, or Babel, if you call it? You know, some people call it Babel, some people call it Babel. So, what happened was, can we read? Okay, there is a story. Can somebody read this? It's in Genesis 11:1-9. If it's not readable, you can read through your Bible.
scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth.
Right. So we see that there was nobody to tell them that what you're doing is not right. There was nobody to help them out and say that let's not do this. Nobody had the courage to stand, and say that let's not do this. What we are doing is wrong. It is God will not like it. Okay, but they all agreed. Come, let us build. They said. So what happened was finally it was the downfall of man. Again, man sinned. Again, man disobeyed. So had there been one person at least in this whole story who said that, okay, let's not do this, I don't think this is right, somebody to tell the truth to these people, then I think this wouldn't have happened. We would have still enjoyed God, by the grace of God, we all enjoy common language. But still, if you see, there are certain frictions here and there, and we say this is the best language and all, but that wouldn't have happened if one person would have stood up and said the truth and said that, okay, let's not do this. This is not right. This is not what God likes. Now, another question is, you remembered we had mentors, okay, in our life. One person that we thought of and we spoke about. Now, what if we had no mentors in our life? Nobody to guide us or nobody to tell us what to do. What do you think would have happened? Nobody in our life. Maybe parents are also clueless. Siblings are also clueless. Nobody is there to tell us, or we had no mentors. What would have happened? You can share it with that same person. What would have happened if that person is not there, wouldn't have been there now? Before it was such a long chat. Okay, you were saying this happened, that happened. But now suddenly, you're saying that, life would have been meaningless. Oh, I wouldn't have been here. No? I wouldn't have been sitting here. Because of that one English teacher, I can speak good English. Because of that person, I can do this. Okay, so yes. What if there was no one to guide us, teach us, tell us the truth? What would have happened? We would have been full of pride. We would have said, self-made man. A self-made woman. I am who I am because I did this. Okay, there would have been fear. Am I doing the right thing? Am I doing this correctly? Or there's fear. Oh, I can't move ahead. Let me just be happy where I am. Okay, I am a graduate. Let me be a graduate only. I don't want to do post-graduation. Okay, if there's nobody to guide us, push us, tell us the truth, I would be doing the same. I would be habituated about certain things and nobody would tell me, hello, you're doing this wrong. Maybe you can try it in this way. Or there would be no accountability. I would be still whiling away my time. I would be still using my money in a very bad manner. And there's nobody to tell us, nobody to be accountable to. Okay, there will be false ideology, ignorance. Okay, I would be so ignorant about many things. And there will be false ideology because now in this whole, in our world, there are a lot of ideas coming in. Suddenly everybody is becoming very creative and, coming up with so many theories and so many, experiments. One theory is derived and then you cross it and say, no, that is wrong. This is the correct theory. So a lot of ideologies and we'll be so confused. There's nobody to tell us the right thing. There'll be nobody to help us out. And Judges 21:25. I purposely did not write the verse because I wanted everybody to read this verse. In your phones, and somebody might have been, knowing it already. It says, what does it say? And I'll tell you the background also about this. 21:25. What does it say? Can somebody tell loudly? Nobody to tell them. They did whatever they felt was correct. Okay, there was nobody to tell them what was the right thing. And what happened was, during that time, there were judges. Okay, there were no kings. So there were judges given to the Israelites. And then whatever the judges did, the Israelites also followed. The judges got victory and they said, do this, do this, do this. And they also did. So there was nobody to help them, guide them, and lead them to the right path. So we all need disciples. Okay, and it says that world is too complicated and confusing. Okay, so many there is this one story about Rehoboam. We know, anybody knows who's Rehoboam? I know some of us know who's Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon. Okay, Solomon was the son of David. David was a mighty king. Even today we sing about David and we say, wow, David killed Goliath and all. Then Solomon came. Solomon was a peaceful man. And he did, he also, like, but did not walk, it says in the Bible, like his father David. And then his son took over, Rehoboam. And what happened was, the people, okay, of Israel came to Rehoboam and said that, cut off our taxes. Okay, there were issues with taxes. And he said, okay, come back to me tomorrow. In the meantime, he took counsel from the older people, okay, first. And they said that, yes, yes, you cut off the taxes because then they will listen to you. Okay, that was the guidance given to them, to him. But what did he do? He went to his friends and they said, no, if you do that, what will happen? They will sit on your head. They will not listen to you. They will say more and more things. Okay, do this, do that. They will think this king is not capable. So you make it more stringent and strict. Finally, what happened? Because of that decision, which he did not listen to, he listened to the younger generation who were not equipped to disciple or mentor. So what happened was, he fell. And because of this, the kingdoms were divided. One became Judah, one became Israel. So because of that one decision, okay, which he took, without the counsel of the wise or without the counsel of his disciples, the nation was divided. So in a similar manner, many times in our lives, we may hear those voices, complicated, you know, world may say something. But if we have that one person to tell the truth, okay, to us, and we identify it, we know it in our heart that this person loves me and knows the correct thing for me, we will be blessed. And because of us, many people will be blessed. So, it says that man is made for discipleship. It's a constant chiseling, because our ultimate aim is to be like Christ. Okay? So, it says that aim of discipleship is to make someone to be like Christ. So, why does it say? Where does it say? In Romans 8, 12 to 17, it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, not even a commandment, it's an obligation, you have to do it. But it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. So who are we? The sons and children of God. It says, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So that means if our ultimate aim is to be like Christ, we share in his suffering, we are co-heirs with him. That means, Can we continue to sin? Can we continue to do wrong thing? Can we continue to do make wrong decisions? No. To become like Christ, to become co-heirs with Him. So how do we do this? Okay, so we are I'm constantly talking about this. Now we will see how we can go about this. Yes, so there is this story about Elijah and Elisha. If we read the Bible, we have a lot of these disciple and discipler partnership. Okay, number one, anybody remembers? Number one, who was a discipler, disciple? Disciplee. Anyone from the Bible you remember? Come on. Think. Moses and Joshua, very good. Moses was a discipler and Joshua was the follower. Okay. And then Joshua also got the same, similar powers that Moses had. Anybody else? Moses and Joshua. Elijah and Elisha, I'm telling you. So you cannot take that. Anybody else? Paul and Timothy, very good. From the New Testament, there are a lot of people. 12 disciples, very good. Okay, excellent. So, we have Naomi and Ruth. Okay, so we cannot forget that sometimes our relatives also can be, you know, guiding us. Yes, so, let's read the story, Elijah and Elisha. How is a relationship between a disciple and a disciple? When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here." Okay, so who said? Elijah said, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But what did Elisha say? "As surely as the Lord lives and you live, I will not leave you." Okay. So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied. "Just be quiet." Okay. Then Elijah said to him again, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." He replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and you live, I will not leave you." What did he say? Can you tell your neighbor, "I will not leave you"? Yes. For all you know, okay, your disciple, okay, you may choose a disciple, "I will not leave you." Very good. The company of the prophets at Jericho went to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know." Be quiet, okay? He says, "You don't talk too much. I know what is happening. What is my intention?" Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Jordan." So where all he went to? Bethel, Jericho, Jordan. And who is not leaving him? Elisha is not leaving him. Okay, Elisha is saying, "I will not leave you." Any other work to do? No, Elisha, no, he was a very rich man, if you see. Okay, let's see. And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. Okay, 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit." Okay. "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." So you see, as a discipler and as a disciple, what did he desire? He desired to be like his discipler. And he said, "Give me double portion. Forget about to be like you. I want more than you." That is what he desired, that earnestness, that yearning to be more like him. That means he saw that God's hand was on Elijah. He saw, see, the miracle. He saw that God can do so much from with him, through him. I also want to do. As they were walking along and talking together, Suddenly, a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Just like his? Who did that? Where do we see? How did he cross over? Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up and struck the water with it. And now here, what is Elisha doing? Took his garment and tore it in two. Then what happens? Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? So all this while he was looking at his discipler and saying, okay, God is with him, God is with him. So he's asking now, where is this God? When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. So what is this lesson that we learn from this Elijah and Elisha? Elijah said, you go away. Okay, many times our discipler may be busy. I don't know. Maybe in a different, they may have their own journey with God. So Elijah was in a different world altogether, because he knew he was going to be taken away in the chariots. He knew it, and all the prophets knew. So he was preparing for that. But who did not leave him? Elisha. Whose responsibility is it? Me as a disciple, it's my responsibility to follow my discipler. It is not my discipler who will run after me and say, come, give me a call, I will talk to you. He will not do that. Or the discipler will not always call you and say, oh, how are you doing? It is my responsibility. I will not leave you. That is what Elisha said. I want to change. I want a double portion. I want my life to be like his. So who is responsible? I am responsible. I need to take that initiative to change my life. I need to be chiseled by God. I need to be more like Christ, isn't it? So it is my responsibility. So many times we have seen that, okay, every time the discipler is calling, every time the discipler is saying, I'll come and I'll talk to you. But it is when we see very biblically that it is the disciple who is running after the discipler to know more about God. It's not about the disciple. He's saying, God, Elijah's God, is I want to do that. Okay. So Elijah has taught him that it is God. So this is the diagram that just came into my mind while I was preparing for this. It is God who gives or ordains the disciple or the mentor. Okay. And the discipler then helps the disciple or the mentee to walk in a certain path or guidance. But that does not mean that I am connected to this person. No. But actually the discipler is teaching me to be connected to God. So I'm not dependent on the discipler, but eventually I am dependent on God. So there is a constant overflow. It's a cycle. God will always tell me certain things through my discipler. And if I agree and if I do that, I will become like Christ. And eventually, I will be more dependent on God to give me that guidance. Okay, so I connect to God. So even if when Elijah is not there, whom did he go to? Whom did Elisha go to? God. He did not say, oh, now Elijah is not there, what will I do? On the other hand, if we see the story of Saul, Saul was so dependent on Samuel that he went to a lady who was a witch, okay, and he said, call Samuel, I want to know. That should not be my position. If I have a disciple, I need to make him more dependent on God rather than on myself. And my discipler, okay, should not be a God to me. That is also wrong. He should not be God to me, but I need to go back to God because my discipler is connecting me back to God. So that is what we believe, okay, as a church, that as we get discipled, as we get chiseled, we connect back to God. So my whole and soul, whether as a discipler, whether as a disciple, is to constantly be connected to God. Okay, constantly be assured that, okay, yes, he will be guided by God. I am not. I am only a channel through which I am taking him to God, a guiding him to God. I cannot be God to them. Every decision that we make, we give choices. And finally, you have to pray and you take the decision. Because we only give you the guidance, right? So that is what discipleship process kind of looks like. There are times, like I have seen in the Bible, okay, where we have certain kind of correction. So it's not always a good thing. Good, as in like, it's not always goody-goody, okay? Not always like, it's only about decision-making or it's only about certain guidance. But it is also about correction. It is also about, as I said, chiseling. So what happened? Who is Paul, by the way? Do we remember the story of Paul? Was Paul with Jesus or Peter with Jesus? Physically, correct? But here we see Paul is correcting Peter, who was with Jesus. So no matter which stage we are in, we always need our mentors and disciples to help us out. We could be wrong. No matter in our spiritual journey how strong we are, okay, there will be people in our lives who will correct us. Like how Paul said, when Cephas, that is Peter, okay, Peter's other name is Cephas, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face. What did he do? How many of us like this statement? Nobody likes it. Okay, nobody likes to be corrected. Nobody likes to be rebuked. But Paul says, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. So he did certain things which was not correct. In spite of staying with Jesus, in spite of knowing, he saw the crucifixion, he knew what the whole purpose and aim was, and still he did what was not. And then what he says, why he had to oppose him? Because the other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. Okay, so that means it was not affecting the other people also. And who saw this? Paul saw this. So many times when we have to tell the truth, we feel, oh, how this other person will react, how they will, you know, behave. I am a good discipler. Okay, I cannot tell this, but not like that. If we know that the person is doing something which is affecting the others, I need to have the courage like this to tell them. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all. Okay, so discipline also means I have to sometimes tell in front of them because they are getting affected. They are going astray. So sometimes we feel, no, oh, discipleship means only one-on-one. Quietly he has to tell me, or quietly she has to tell me. But we cannot, because sometimes the others also may be following you, where we may be doing something wrong. Correct? So, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile, not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? Okay, so sometimes there is a rebuke from our disciples, because that is what God has been speaking to them. It is not necessarily that they hate us or they dislike us that they are doing this, but because the others can also get influenced because of this, that is why. Also, it builds our character. It builds our, it also gives, shows, helps us to be humble. So, as a disciple, okay, as a disciple of God, as a disciple of Jesus, and as I am being discipled, what are the characteristics that I need to have? I need to be vulnerable. Okay, can we tell our neighbor, I need to be vulnerable? Yes. So, vulnerable means, so it's like this. The more vulnerable or the more open I am about my issues, about my situations, the more work can be done in me. The more I hide. See, my disciple is not God. Correct? He cannot see me in my darkest place. He cannot see me when I'm doing something really, really nasty. He cannot see me the way I talk to my family. He cannot see me the way I talk to my friends. Or what do I do outside, right? He cannot see my chats, or he cannot see my blogs, or all that, okay? But if I want to grow, I need to be open about it. And I need to say that, you know what, this is where I am lacking, this is where I need help, this is where I need guidance. There have been many times that, you know, we have showed ourselves as very self-righteous because we come to church, so we want to be like, oh, I'm a good person, what will he think about me if I say this? But actually we forget, as I said, the diagram, that each one of us, you know, we need to be accountable to God, and God can see everything that I'm doing. So if I don't tell him or her, that means I am fooling myself. I am, and God is watching it, and God will eventually, you know, open it up before my discipler, and which will be even more worse, right? So it is always better to be vulnerable, to be open. And so if we have, so some examples, it could be if you are addicted to something, it's always good to share and say, I need help. Okay, it is not necessarily that once I tell him or her, then I'll be completely fine. No, maybe there will be situations where I'll be tempted again, but at least I know I have to be accountable to that person. So I will hold myself, or I will immediately call them, or I will immediately say, you know what, I need help here. Can you work this out for me? Then I need my mentors to help me keep a constant check. Okay, that's how we grow Christ-like. And eventually, they will wean us off that. Okay, and then I will need to be like accountable to God. Now, so that is being vulnerable. Secondly, teachable. If you back, okay, and if I don't take it positively, I am not a teachable person. I am too arrogant. I can say that, oh, I think they're wrong. You know, nobody. But also I am harboring pride and self-righteousness. There will be 100% downfall. See, many times what happens is everybody has a different mentor. My mentor or my discipler cannot be. And every time God has planted those people in our lives, in different phases of our life, each one will have different people. And their personalities will be different. Some people may be loud. When they're talking to you, they'll be very loud. Some people will be very soft, and they'll tell you gently. Some people will be direct. Some people will tell you indirectly through via stories and all, but they will tell. So that does not mean that, you know, that issue is not addressed. But you need to look at the heart of the matter. Okay, so even if my mentor has told me something, if I only think, oh, how can he say something like this to me? If I keep on saying like that, then I have not got the heart of that person. I have only focused on what they have told me, but I have not understood what they are actually trying to convey me and what I need to correct. For example, if I am addicted to something and my mentor has said that, oh, you have done this, you have done that, and now you need to be like this. So I will only focus on what he has told, but I will forget that, oh, it is my character that is addressing. Right? I need to change this aspect. And so that is why I need to be teachable. I cannot be too focused on what other things. So they may have a different personality of telling. So we need to understand that. Always look at the heart behind that thought or word that is coming. Okay, we cannot feel too hurt about anything. Our disciples have different ways of putting it across. It's their personality. Some, as I said, some can be serious, some can be not serious, some have a way of telling it, you know, different manners. But we need to focus on the heart. Can we tell our neighbor, I need to focus on the heart? Yes. So no matter what age we are in, we need to keep our attitude and character in check. We should not compare. Okay, don't dwell too much on yourself. Why me only? Why he has to correct me only? Why he or she did not correct that person when she or he did that? Okay, that is because God is more interested in that character of yours. And as I said, the diagram, go back to the diagram. God is helping him to see that aspect in you, and therefore he's chiseling that out. Okay. So the way a doctor, okay, yeah. So the way a doctor is taught is not the same way a soldier is taught, right? A soldier is trained in a very rough manner. Correct. You have to go underneath. But a doctor's college, if you see how doctors learn through experiment, medication, this thing, cutting, that thing. Okay, all that. You. But a soldier. So God has different purposes in our life. And that manner He will teach us. Right? So we cannot expect each of us to be taught like how soldiers are taught, or each of us to be taught like how doctors are taught. Okay, so the methodology will be different. But finally, we will come out as God's children. Okay, we are co-heirs with Christ. Can we remind ourselves and can we tell we are co-heirs of Christ? With Christ, yes. Then, yeah, as I said before, be available. Okay, I know we are very busy. Okay, our mentors are busy. But we at least pick up their call. Or if we are too busy to pick up the call, what do? We at least WhatsApp them or message them that I'll call you back. It assures them that yes, you are open to speak to, you are ready. Okay, if you're not available at home at that time, you can say maybe we can meet some other time. But be open, be available, be teachable, okay? And it shows that people, so when we don't pick up, then it gives a very negative, signal to the other person that I am not interested in talking to you. Please go away. Okay. I don't want to listen to you. So it's always good to talk. Like how Elisha, he said, I will not leave you. Okay. Wherever you go, he went to Jericho, Jordan, Bethel, everywhere he followed. I will not leave you. Not because he didn't have work to do, but he said, I want to know God's heart. I want to get that thing what that person has. Speak up truth. Okay. So, there will be 100 people who will say, wow, it was amazing. What you spoke was superb. But there will be that one person who will come and say, you could have changed this. What will we say? What is this person? Is always very negative, correct? But that person is committed to tell you the truth because that person loves you more than anybody else. And they will always want to work in your life and want to see you grow and be successful. So always be committed to tell the truths, both to the disciple to hear the truths and the discipler to tell the truths. Okay, now what do? We'll just quickly go through the process of discipleship. First is the selection. Who selects whom? The discipler selects the disciple or disciple selects the disciple? Discipler selects the disciple. Okay, so this is a big question mark. Okay, so now who is interested to change the character? The discipler or the disciple? Who is interested? The disciple is more interested, right? Elisha was more interested. He went after the discipler. So the first thing is that, yes, I will have people. So Jesus chose his disciples. Jesus chose his disciples. But who was following him? Who was following him? The disciples were following. No, they left their home, everything. And they followed Jesus and said, Jesus, we want to learn. We know you are the Messiah. We know that you have come to seek and save the lost. So they followed him. Right? Jesus did not go after them. Hey, come here, I'll tell you this, I'll tell you. No, whatever he was telling, they were listening, they were grasping, they were getting that knowledge. Okay, so there is a selection process. And many times, initially probably the discipler will call us, okay, but it is our duty, it is our responsibility to talk to them and get back to them every time. These are some practical things that we should follow. Discuss, always have a discussion. Don't be abrupt. Oh, I don't have time. I'm too busy and all that. So discuss about things, issues, struggles, happiness, joyfulness. Okay, there are some promotions that you get. Do discuss. Say that, you know what, this is what I've got. This is the opportunity. This is the interview that I gave. This is the opening that I got. What do you think about it? and how do I go about it? So it's always good to discuss and describe and open up things which could be of value to the whole process of discipleship. Listen, okay? Many times, okay, listening also has two parts. One time we listen and we just forget it. Sometimes it is always good to note it down, what they have told, why they have told, okay? And to remember that while we are in that process. Listen, implement. Why not try and see it? Okay, implement it. And then definitely pray together. Prayer is so important in this relationship. Every time. So even Elijah and Elisha, if you see, they met God together. They saw miracles together. They saw things together. Prayer is so important. Okay, so let's all be committed to this process of discipleship, because it's one of the values of RHC. And not only that, it's the value of, given in the Bible, in the Word of God. Okay, and God is delighted to see His children become co-heirs with Christ. Okay, and we need to have that heart, that desire to be changed, to be chiseled, to become more like Jesus. So can we finally tell our neighbor, I am going to be more like Jesus through discipleship? Yes. So be committed today, maybe as a practical thing. Maybe you can think of somebody who could help you, who could guide you in this journey. Go to that person and ask that person. So as I said, the description of the discipler would be a person who is more mature, okay, who spiritually walked that path, who knows God. And you have seen, you have witnessed miracles, like how Elisha and Elijah. Elisha did not simply choose Elijah, but he saw that God's hand was upon this person. If we believe, not because of the charisma of that person, okay, we cannot go to a person because of the charisma, because they are so good looking, or their style of talking or anything, but we should see God in their life. We should see that Christ is in their life. We should see it in happening in their life, testimonies in their life. Correct? And then only we can go to them. We cannot go to people who have a lot of charisma, because it can be misleading. We cannot see Jesus. Okay, so we should go to people who have Jesus in their life, just like Elijah and Elisha. Yes? So we'll just bow our heads, think about that person who can help us out, whom we have seen Jesus in, whom we have seen that God is working in their life, and who can help us also in our lives, and who can guide us and chisel us, correct us, encourage us, lead us. Amen.